I had a member of another church I served who on our last Sunday there came to me and said, I have a confession to make. He said, when you would start to preach, I would sort of halfway listen until you said, now here's the thing. He said, and then I would give you my undivided attention because I knew that everything that followed that was important. So here's the thing. I'm not sure we've done well with you by the gospel reading today. I think before we go forward, we need to go back a little bit in the 21st chapter of John. The chapter begins with John saying, now Jesus appeared to his disciples again in this way. And he tells us that Simon Peter and Thomas called the twin and Nathanael and the sons of Zebedee and two others. That's seven of the remaining 11. We don't know where the other four were. Those seven are together, and Peter says to them, I'm going fishing. It's an interesting thing. You need to have that in your mind to understand the part of the gospel that we did read. Peter's going fishing. Peter's going back to where it started. Most of the gospels tell us that Jesus called Peter to be his disciple while he was at work fishing. He's going back to where it began. It's sort of a homecoming, if you will. He's going back to the place where he first met Christ, to the place where he first met Jesus, where he first fell in love with Jesus, and Jesus called him to follow. About an hour from here, not too far away, there's a little Presbyterian chapel. It's called Frank Price Chapel. The whole thing could fit on this stage. And it's the first church that I preached in on a regular basis. I won't say I pastored there because I didn't really. I just went out there on Sunday mornings and preached. Religion major, pre-divinity student who didn't know what he was doing, and these folks were good about it. There's probably no one there now who was there then, and that is probably good for me that there is no one there now who was there then. They suffered through a lot, but it's where I started ministry. And when I get discouraged or when I get weary, which hasn't happened in 6.5 years. The choir's laughing at that. Every so often, I will drive out to Frank Price Chapel and I will just park the car in the churchyard and sit and remember what it was like when it began, the hopefulness and the excitement and the energy of ministry as a way to go back to the beginning to find the hopefulness and the excitement and the energy again. That's what Peter's doing when he says, I'm going fishing. He's going back to where it began. You have a place like that. You have some place, if you closed your eyes right now, you could see it. A church, it may be First United Methodist of Cary, or a camp, or a retreat center, or some place that was the first place that you met Jesus, the first place that you fell in love with Jesus, the first place that you heard him call you to follow. And it's what Peter means when he says, I'm going fishing. And to understand this conversation between Peter and Jesus, you have to understand that's where he is. He's gone back to the Sea of Galilee where it started. You also have to understand what happens in verse 9. In verse 9 of chapter 29, you're told this, as they came ashore, they saw a charcoal fire. Now, why in the world would John consider it important enough to tell you that there was a charcoal fire on the beach? Because Peter's been by a charcoal fire before. Three chapters earlier, in chapter 18, you're told this, the soldiers and the police in the courtyard had built a charcoal fire to warm themselves, and Peter was warming himself by the fire when one of them said to him, aren't you a Galilean? Didn't you follow him? And Peter said, I don't know him. The charcoal fire is important in the story because the charcoal fire is another memory for Peter. It's a memory of a time when he failed, when he let his love grow cold and he stepped away from the one that he'd met by the Sea of Galilee. So at this moment, when this conversation takes place, what we have is an intersection for Peter. The memory of his first calling from Christ laps against his heart as gently as the waves of the Sea of Galilee are lapping against the shore, but the memory of his denial of his Lord hangs over him as heavy as an early morning fog. It is a place of intersection for Peter. And then you go forward a few verses. And Jesus says to Peter, what will happen to him as he grows old? He says, you will not be able to dress yourself, and someone else will lead you where you don't even want to go. And in this moment, all of Peter's life with Jesus meets. His past, the moment of his call, his past, the moment of his denial, and the future, the moment of his martyrdom, all come together in this one conversation, this intersection of past and present and future. It's a great story. And as I read it this week, I thought about my colleagues over here, and I asked myself, what were we thinking choosing this text for Manifest Sunday? Why did we pick this? What in the world does this have to do with this? So then I thought, well, maybe we were more focused on 1 Corinthians 12. Maybe it was Paul writing about being the body of Christ and this connecting of the body altogether. And that made sense because this is our reconnection day. Every so often, well, no, that's not fair. Once a year, to be exact, we all come together, right? And it's a great thing to do and to watch. We get to see people from the 825 Sanctuary service, get to know people from the 1105 First on Chatham service, and everything in between. We enjoy this day. We mingle around you. We listen. My favorite conversation especially is when two of you who know each other somewhere else, at work or at swim club or at a traveling sports team, you have seats next to each other at Carter Finley, wherever it is, you know each other, and you look at each other and you say, I didn't know you were a member of this church. And you say, well, sure. And the other one says, well, how long have you been a member? 35 years. Well, there you go. It's great, and it reconnects us. It brings us back together. We're invested in each other. We know that Paul was right. We know that we are one body, as we've been singing this morning and focusing on it. We are one church. Six expressions of it in six different worshiping communities, but one church. And we all succeed when one of us succeeds. The 945 Sanctuary service is a success if Celebration is a success. And Celebration is a success if First on Chatham is a success, and so on, all the way around. And it's not just the worshiping communities. It's us as individuals as well. We all belong to this body. Each of us matters, and we are invested in each other's lives. It's easy when there are so many of us to think that is not the case. It is easy when there are so many of us to think it doesn't matter if I'm not there, if I'm not a part of this. It's easy for us to think we can get lost in this. We talked about this yesterday morning at the breakfast. It's easy to think, you know, there's so many there, they won't notice that I'm not there this week. And sometimes we admit we don't, but we're diminished nevertheless. And it's not a sign of your importance if we don't. It's a sign of the fact that we don't see everything we should see. Paul reminds us that we are one church. When one of us suffers, we all suffer. And when one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. And we all belong to each other, don't we? And that's what we celebrate on Manifest each year when we come together, this great scene of looking around and seeing all of us together in one place at one time as a reminder that we belong to each other. And I read that this week and I thought, I should have taken better notes last spring when we were planning this today, because I'm not sure how these two things connect with each other. Peter's moment on the beach and us being one body. And then it occurred to me that that's exactly the point. Peter's moment on the beach is that moment of intersection of his whole life with Jesus, his whole time together. And this moment is for us a moment of intersection for us, where we remember all that First United Methodist Church of Cary means to us in our journey, and what the people around us mean to us in our journey, and what we mean to one another. And it is in this present moment that we remember that past, and it is in this present moment that we anticipate a future in which God will do for and through and in us more than right this minute we can possibly imagine for this community. And so as we gather this morning for Manifest, and as we bring to a close this month of September of talking about congregational care, it occurs to me that what your pastors want to say to you is simply this: just be that church. just be that church that God has called us to be. That church that's connected and invested in each other. That church that moves into God's future with excitement and anticipation and hope. That church that can admit that we have in the past not been faithful, and yet God has loved us through our faithlessness anyway and has brought us to this time and place. Be that church that is one church. That church that we know how to be. We're going to practice it in a few minutes. We're going to do one of our manifest traditions. We're going to gather for our prayer circles on the lawn. And William's going to give you about 10 minutes for prayer circles on the lawn. This has become a part of our life together at Manifest these 5 years that we look forward to. And in that gathering, remember what Paul said, and let the least in the circle be invested with the greatest honor. Let the youngest go first. Let the quietest go first. Treat as a holy request for prayer the person who says, I have an unspoken prayer concern. Treat that with as much holiness as you do the person who in the prayer circle shares way too much information with everybody. And in the prayer circles this morning, be that church. Be that church in the small groups that we have formed all around our life together. In those places that we like to say are your cheers places in our congregation. That place that you go in this congregation where everybody knows your name and you know everyone else's. That place where if you are not present, someone calls to find out where you have been and why you are not. And if you are not in that place, well, let me just say, if you're not in a small group, I hope that Martha can't eat lunch today because you all overwhelm her with trying to find out what's a small group you can be a part of. Be that church in the small groups. Be that church when we get back home in the theater and in the fellowship hall in the sanctuary. Be that church of looking out for the stranger, looking for the new person in our midst, looking for the person that may seem a little lost, and making room and space and hospitality for them. Be that church that risks, wait on it, letting someone else have your seat so that they have the place at the table. Be that church. And be that church in the streets of Cary and in your workplaces and where you shop and where you recreate. That church that shares the heart of Christ from the heart of Cary. That church that seeks out to be a reconciling, peace-giving, grace-giving presence in our community. It's a holy moment of intersection for Peter in that story. And Manifest is an annual holy moment of intersection for us. The reminder that Christ has called us, and we said we would follow, and he invites us to be. This past month, we've invited you to pray for one another. And we've invited you to ask if you need help. And we've invited you to focus on the Methodist way of doing. Do no harm, do good, and most of all, stay in love with God. So here's what I've come to tell you this morning. Here's the thing. I know as your pastor that that's the church that you are. So just be that church. And know that when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" and says to him, "Feed my sheep," he's asking us as well. And it's another way of asking this question: who cares? And we say, we do. We do. We do. Because Jesus called us to. Thanks be to God.